Morning.
Morning.
Well, today I have another. Thanks, brother. Today I have another topical subject on my mind, and the title for this message this morning is the faith of Christ. And I've been talking about faith the last couple of weeks. Thought it would be good to delve a little bit into this subject. The topic of the faith of Christ. Is a subject that really you don't hear much about at all among most congregations. Most churches in the evangelical world are very adamant about having a lot to say about your faith and about my faith, but really next to nothing is spoken of about the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to try to kind of go, Lord willing, through this point by point. When you first bring up this subject to the average Christian, there's sort of an aversion that you see come upon their face. There's a look of confusion. How can Jesus Christ have faith? And many Christians think that Jesus Christ cannot have faith because Jesus Christ is God. And after all, God doesn't have faith, so how can Jesus Christ have faith? And in order to properly address this question, we have to understand a couple of basic points. And the first point is something very basic that everyone here knows, but we're just going to go ahead and cover it for the sake of covering it. And that is to recognize the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is both God and man in one person. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And there are really a lot of different texts that spell this out, you know, clearly. I've chosen 1 Timothy just to kind of pick something a little bit different from what's normally quoted. But 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. Paul the Apostle declares that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And he goes on here to talk about our Lord's redeeming of his people from their sins, the paying the ransom price for our sins. But if you look over it just at the next chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, Paul makes another statement about the Lord Jesus in verse 16, and he says, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." And here's what that mystery is. God was manifest, that is, he was revealed in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And so we see on the one hand, Paul affirming the true humanity of Christ. Christ has to be a man in order for him to be our mediator. And then in the very next breath, he affirms, just as true, just as much a part of our Christian faith as the former proposition is, that he is God manifest in the flesh. And so in understanding that point, we have to recognize another important point, and this is that, biblically speaking, it is not inappropriate to ascribe faith to God, any more than it would be inappropriate to ascribe other attributes to God that we might also ascribe to human beings. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 3. We'll go ahead and cover that briefly. Romans chapter 3. And we talked about faith a couple of weeks ago, and I talked about how faith, when we're talking about the activity of faith in terms of believing, faith in that sense, beloved, is not complicated. And one thing that you'll notice a lot, and that a lot of preachers like to do, is they like to complicate faith. They like to make you think that if you're not doing the right thing at the right moment at all times, you might not really have faith. It might not be real faith. It might not be saving faith, etc., etc. Beloved, faith is nothing more than assurance of something being true. That's what it is. We talked about the faith of Abraham a couple of weeks ago. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Paul elaborates on that in Romans 4. He says, Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. So that's all that faith is. The Oxford English Dictionary gives a couple of synonyms for the word faith, one of them including trust or confidence or belief. That's all that it is. It's not complicated. And so you can have faith in certain things that you might believe, but maybe you don't have 100% certainty about. But you can also have faith about things that you believe. That you know to be true. I'll give you an example. If I were to hold up my Bible here and I were to ask everyone here, who here can say that you know that if I were to let go of my Bible, short of some providential intervention by God, that my Bible would fall to the floor and hit the ground? I'm sure everyone here would probably say you know that to be true. Now, if I were to ask, who here believes that? The same number of proverbial hands should go up, right? Because we know that to be true, and we believe it. There's nothing contradictory about that. Amen. And so in the same way, God can believe things that he knows to be true. Look over here at Romans chapter 3 and verse 3, for example. Paul the Apostle, speaking about his fellow Jews and asking the question, what if some of them didn't believe the gospel message? Paul says in Romans 3 and verse 3, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Now that verse is inescapably referring faith to God. There's no other referent in that verse that you can turn to. Moreover, Paul goes on to tell us, God the Father had faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look down at verse 25 of the same chapter. In verse 25, Paul says, speaking of the Lord Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, how? Through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. We talked about this when we spoke about the suretyship of the Lord Jesus Christ. How was it that Abel or Abraham or Moses or any of the Old Testament saints were able to die and go to heaven upon death before the Lord Jesus Christ had actually justified them, before he had actually made the payment for their sins? This passage explains it, at least if you're reading a King James Bible, which is the only standard of authority in this church. The Lord was forbearing with the Old Testament saints, with their sins. He was withholding punishment because he trusted, he had confidence that the blood of the Lord would make the payment at the appointed time. So there's nothing inappropriate about saying that God has faith when properly understood. But more than that, we want to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is the main focus of my message this morning. I want to talk to you about the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ as a man. Did the Lord Jesus have faith as man? And I'm just going to present a couple of arguments here. And like I said, it's very easy to demonstrate this from Scripture. People oftentimes just don't really think much about it because it's not taught in a lot of churches. There's no real relevance of the faith of Christ for these people when they're talking about salvation. But the Bible places quite a bit of emphasis on this. In the first place, let's understand that in order for Christ to redeem his people, he had to be made not only man, but he had to be born under the law. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 5, where Paul the Apostle makes reference to this. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, Paul the Apostle says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. And here he states the purpose for that in verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ had to be born subject to, not just as a Jew to the Sinai covenant, but he had to be born subject to the moral law of God, just as all men are. The difference is our Lord, praise God, was born without sin. And so he was incapable of breaking the law. But what a lot of people don't recognize is that faith is a prescription of the law. Look over at Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23. You can turn there if you'd like anyway. There, the Lord Jesus is giving perhaps one of the most scathing rebukes that he has ever, that is recorded for us in the gospel accounts, towards the religious leaders of his day. One of the most fiery rebukes that he's ever delivered, at least as we have recorded in the Bible. And he says this to the scribes and Pharisees. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law." That's the more significant matters of the law. And he's going to list them out for us here. Judgment, mercy, and faith. Judgment, mercy, and faith. He says, these ought ye to have done, and not to have left the others undone. You know, if you read throughout the book of Numbers, the book of Deuteronomy, you read about the wilderness generation, God consistently rebukes the Israelites, and he's even depicted as lamenting over the fact that the Israelites had no faith. If you read Deuteronomy 32, God tells, speaks of Israel. He calls them children in whom is no faith. They were constantly rebuked for unbelief. The Lord Jesus was a man born under the law, and he had perfect faith. He not only believed in the existence of God, he believed everything that God had revealed in the scriptures, and he trusted God at all times. Something that the law requires of man. Man is obligated to trust in God as his creator, to acknowledge his existence, to acknowledge what he's revealed, to trust in him and his providence, etc., etc. And praise be to God, the Lord Jesus Christ was consistent in that. The Lord Jesus Christ never once wavered in his faith towards God. So if the Lord Jesus Christ didn't have faith, then he couldn't fulfill the law. And that means that he couldn't be our Savior. He wouldn't be able to have redeemed his people from their sins. Another thing I want to point out is that in the scriptures, the term faithful is a title that is frequently applied to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God as God. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. This is John writing the book of Revelation to the seven churches that were in Asia Minor. He says in verses 4 through 5, "John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Lord Jesus Christ is called faithful. And one of the primary definitions of the word for faithful is referred to persons or actions full of or characterized by faith. The Lord Jesus Christ is full of, characterized by faith. All throughout his earthly life, all throughout his earthly ministry, he lived a life that was characterized by faith in God, which is our calling as Christians, amen? Are we seeking to live a life that is characterized by living upon and resting upon faith in our God? We have the Lord Jesus Christ as the perfect example of that. So the Lord Jesus could not be called the faithful witness if he doesn't have any faith. It's pretty straightforward, I think, right? Is anybody struggling? No? Okay, good. Moreover, the Lord Jesus Christ always pleased God the Father in everything that he did. We can see that in John chapter 8, verse 29. John chapter 8, verse 29. These are just, again, some bullet point kind of arguments here that I'm going into. Don't have a lot of time to elaborate, but like I said, they're pretty straightforward. So in John chapter 8, verse 29, the Lord Jesus Christ says, And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Part of our Lord fulfilling the requirements of the law, part of him walking by faith, was the fact that he always did that which pleased God the Father. And the scriptures are very clear, and you can turn here if you want. This is kind of a shorter quotation. But the book of Hebrews is very clear that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So the Lord Jesus Christ had to have faith as a necessary prerequisite to be able, once again, to walk out and live the life that he lived, leading ultimately to our redemption. Okay, so we've got a couple of basic arguments down here, basic points for why the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Scripture, had faith. In the last few minutes here that I have, I want to comment on something more specific. Perhaps the greatest act of faith that the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated was when he went to the cross to die for the sins of his people. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. We'll read verses 9 through 13. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 through 13. And this is where understanding the faith of Christ becomes more significant for us. This is where it becomes very significant for how we understand the gospel and how we understand our Lord's work for his people. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 through 13, Paul says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." We've explained this text before, and Paul's going to explain who the every man is in the rest of this passage. Verse 10, "For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering," that is, complete or mature through sufferings. "For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." This is who the every man is for whom Christ died. It's for every single one of his brethren that the Father gave him. Now look at verse 13. "And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me." This is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ in the context of him tasting death for every single one of his brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ put trust in God. It took trust. It took faith to do what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. When we consider our Lord's last moments before going to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, I think we might have a little bit of time to turn there. In Luke chapter 22, if you want to turn there. Luke chapter 22. And, you know, Brother Joe finished out the Gospel of Mark recently, and he preached a great sermon on that particular section in Mark's account. But we can see in that passage some of the things that the Lord was going through as he was preparing to go to the cross. In Luke chapter 22, particularly in verse 41, we read that when he was withdrawn from them, that's from the disciples, about a stone's cast, he kneeled down and prayed, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And there appeared an angel, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. That's probably one of the most neglected instructions of Scripture among God's people. Have you ever been in a situation where the agony is so great, the temptation is so great, pray more earnestly? That's the example that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us here. But it says that he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did in time of trial, preparing to go to the cross. And he wasn't fearing, he wasn't troubled by what the men were going to do to him. He knew that he was about to go to the cross and undergo the wrath of God for his people. And he went right to God the Father and sought him in prayer. Then in Luke chapter 23, and I'll be closing out here in just one second, Luke chapter 23 and verse 46, we find the culmination of all of this. When the Lord Jesus had been suffering the torments of hell upon the cross for his elect people, we find in Luke chapter 23 and verse 46, Jesus' dying words, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." The definition of commend: to give something over in trust, in faith. It was the faith of Jesus Christ that led him to go to the cross, believing that God the Father would accept his sacrifice and raise him from the dead. This should add much more context to passages like Romans chapter 3, verse 22, where Paul speaks of the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:16, that we are justified, we are made righteous, not by works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Paul, scattered all throughout his epistles, speaks of the truth of justification by the faith of Christ. This is the faith of Christ being illustrated for us in the gospel narratives. It was that faith that led to the Lord Jesus Christ going to the cross and accomplishing the redemption of his people. What a blessing this is to consider. What a blessing this is to know that when my faith is wavering, when I find myself being tempted to look away from my shepherd, that it doesn't ultimately depend upon the strength of my faith. It depends entirely upon the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the true faithful witness, the true faithful servant of God. Let's give thanks to God this morning for the faith of Christ, and let's seek throughout this coming week to imitate our great shepherd and be as faithful as he calls us to be, as faithful as the Lord Jesus Christ was to his God and Father. Amen. Thank you very much. Amen.